Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, 610 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Coming up in about an hour, we're expecting a press conference from Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth. We'll be carrying that live whenever it happens, because obviously it's going to be about Iran. I do think it's interesting, this squabble over how much damage was done to the Iranian nuclear program. Remember, the Defense Intelligence Agency had their report leaked. There was their 24-hour assessment that it wasn't nearly as damaging as the president had been claiming, who had been saying, you know, utter devastation, complete destruction, whatever. I mean, what was the thing that he said yesterday? He compared it to Hiroshima in the level of damage that was done.
We assess that the American strikes on Iran's nuclear facilities has set back Iran's ability to develop nuclear weapons for many years to come. Actually, if you look at Hiroshima, if you look at Nagasaki, you know, that ended a war, too. This ended a war in a different way, but it was so devastating.
He did say in a different way. So, you know, he's not saying they're the same. I do think he takes a weird joy in saying Nagasaki. But, okay, whatever. You know, it's anyway. And then you had the president saying that's all false, and saying, you know, you had now the CIA director has come out and saying it was a big damage. You've got other countries saying that it was massive damage. Iran is now saying it was set, you know, big setback, massive damage. I don't know how much, you know, the administration is saying, look, even Iran agrees. I mean, it's kind of in Iran's interest to pretend it was massive. Like, what is Iran going to say? You know, you didn't get anything. We've still got all of the nuclear material we need, and we've got all the centrifuge. We've got all the scientists. Everything survived, totally intact. We're ready to build a bomb. Oh, crap, second wave. You know, like, no, I mean, Iran has got all the motive in the world to lie about this. Oh, yes, Mr. President, you destroyed everything. And maybe we did. But I don't think you can take Iran's confirmation of that as solid intel. But, you know, I don't have any reason to believe that we didn't do great damage. And even the DIA is kind of hedging, I guess, now that, you know, well, this is a 24-hour estimate. Okay, fine. So whatever. I did think it was kind of funny. Just as a side note, the things that I find entertaining, I don't know, I hope you do. Dana Bash and Aaron Burnett on CNN. Did you happen to catch this yesterday? So Aaron Burnett, I guess, was in Tehran previously, like stationed in Tehran. And she's going to bring her own personal perspective on Iran to this conversation. And look, I mean, she knows more about Iran than I do, at least from having, you know, worked there. I've never been to the country, but here goes. The first, Dana Bash first, and then Aaron Burnett.
But the question is whether or not the COM can remain when the regime is still there, who wants death to America, death to Israel, stays in place. And that is part of the discussion, right?
Yes, absolutely part of the discussion. And, you know, I remember, Dan, at one point being in Tehran years ago, and they're chanting death to America all around me, even as I say, oh, I'm an American reporting for CNN, and they were happy to speak to me. So,
by the way, I'm not sure that's the flex she thinks it is, right? Yes, all the Iranians who hate America were happy to see CNN. Anyway, back to the comments.
Say, oh, I'm an American reporting for CNN, and they were happy to speak to me. So that those two sort of jarring realities of the chant and yet the friendliness have existed together.
It was the friendliest death to America rally you've ever been to. I actually kind of understand this because, you know, like going to the DNC, okay, and interviewing people who were cheering and chanting and protesting Trump and, you know, all of this stuff. And or actually, maybe it was at the RNC. Now that I think about it, maybe it was at the RNC. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. The point is they were all doing their protest and I was going around talking to them. And they were all, you know, generally super friendly people. And they didn't know what my lean was. But, you know, I'm sure if they had found out I was a conservative, they still would have been friendly. Because, you know, it's the difference between an idea you oppose with your signs and your chants and a person who's standing right in front of you. And we're all kind of humans, you know, usually not always, to the people that are right in front of us. So, we're going to find out in an hour, 45 minutes, what Pete Hegseth has to say about all this. Somebody texts in, wouldn't Iran have reason to appear to be strong to the world? Oh, I mean, sure. I see that, too. I'm not saying that Iran is necessarily lying. I'm just saying I don't think you can count them as a credible source one way or the other on this. They're certainly not going to come out and give us the, you know, great reliable intel on how much damage was done to their nuclear program. Way too many mixed motives in terms of their willingness to share information. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Still no accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are all flowing smoothly this morning. Not seeing any delays to let you know about on 29 or 9 Mile. They're all looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives. The history of the blues is brought to you by Calvert's in the Heights.
1958 saw the Blue Angels training in their new F-11As in the skies over Pensacola. The supersonic afterburner-equipped F-11A was ideal for precision aerobatic flight, and the Blue Angels took advantage of the plane's outstanding flight characteristics with an even more impressive airshow routine. In addition to expanded vertical maneuvers, the Blue Angels introduced the back-to-back formation and the first six-plane delta maneuvers during the 1958 season. By 1959, many countries had their own flight exhibition teams, and it was in April of that year, during the first World Congress of Flight in Las Vegas, Nevada, that several of these other teams got to fly with the Blue Angels, at the same air show anyway. The other teams were the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds, the Chinese Nationalists Thunder Tigers, Holland's Dutch Four, and Italy's Red Devils. In 1961, the Blue Angels spent close to 300 days on the road doing 75 flight demonstrations as part of the Navy's year-long celebration of the 50th anniversary of naval aviation. A June 10th performance at NAS Pensacola drew more than 75,000 spectators. That air show also included exhibitions by the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds and the Royal Canadian Air Force Golden Hawks. Grumman, which had manufactured every plane flown by the Blue Angels, sponsored a Blue Angel reunion, which was well attended by former Blues pilots. During this special anniversary year, which was also the 15th anniversary of the Blue Angels, the flight demonstration team performed before a record 5 million people nationwide. In what would eventually become a tradition, the season concluded with a welcome home show over their home base at NAS Pensacola. 71 shows were flown in 1962, including one attended by President John F. Kennedy at Brunswick, Maine. Following the air show, the team was able to meet the president and presented him with a scale model of the F-11A Tiger painted with Blue Angel markings. The next year, the Blue Angels reached a special milestone when they flew their 1,000th flight demonstration on July 4, 1963, at NAS Lemoore, California. The following year, the Blue Angels flew before a crowd of 1.5 million people at the Aeronaves de Mexico Anniversary Air Show in Mexico City. This one-day attendance record of 1.5 million would stand for 22 years. I'll be back with more after this.
Are you looking for a unique restaurant experience? It's Calvert's in the Heights, a one-of-a-kind English-themed restaurant and pub with stunning views of Escambia Bay. Enjoy delicious cuisine from British fare to American bar foods to fresh home-cooked meals. Or stop into the pub for a great selection of beers, liquors, and wines. You'll find it all at Calvert's. Don't miss the Red, White, and Blues Watch Party, Saturday, July 12th, 10:30 till 3. Replace the heat and traffic with cold AC and frosty drinks and the Blue Angels air show on the big screen. Calvert's in the Heights, 670 Scenic Highway.
The Blue Angels tour Europe and get the only standing ovation at the Paris Air Show in the next chapter of News Radio's History of the Blue Angels.
Have you given your auto loan a second thought lately? Just like you might refinance a home for a better deal, you can do the same with your auto loan. Refinance an existing loan from another institution with Pinnair Credit Union and lower your interest rate by up to 2%. Plus, you could skip payments for the first 90 days. Take your old auto loan off of autopilot with Pinnair to lower your interest and payments. Learn more at Pinnair.org/auto-refi. That's Pinnair.org/auto-refi. All loans are subject to approval. Offer valid on loan application submitted between April 1st and June 30th, 2025 only. Call toll-free 1-877-4-PIN-AIR for complete details.
Your road to summer adventure starts with outstanding offers on new Subarus from Anderson Subaru. Get 3.9 for 72 on Outbacks and 3.9 for 48 on Foresters, or 2.9 for 48 on Crosstrek. Love is out there this summer. Find it at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thank you all. Thank you.
That wasn't flying. That was falling with style.
Now, you know me. I will give grief to local elected officials where it's due. But I also give them praise when it's appropriate. And this may strike you as an odd thing, but you know me, my brain finds unusual things to pay attention to. The prayer that Rhett Rowell, the District 5 commissioner and Scooby-Doo extra, because his name, it's just, he's scrappy to Rhett Rowell. Anyway, but I mean, I do. I love him. I think he's great. He's a very decent man. Anyway, he did the opening prayer. And there was just one line in his prayer that really caught me. Here was the other day.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to meet and do the business of the county. Well, we just thank you for all of our blessings. We pray for all the issues around the world right now, dear Lord, all of our soldiers. Dear Lord, we just pray that you would please protect them, give them grace, and we just pray for your will. Today, we pray that we would do things in according to your will, and please forgive us where we fail you. In Jesus' name, amen.
The last little piece. We pray that we do things according to your will and forgive us when we fail. And he said it so fast, but isn't that to pray in advance for forgiveness for the shortcomings that we are certain to achieve? I just love that. I thought that's really nice. I mean, that's good. I like that. Then you had Kerry Smith talking about Commissioner District 1 chairman. Kerry Smith was sharing a story about how he was talking to a longtime legend at a dinner recently. And he had gone back, and you know, this is a person who kind of knows everything about the county, and had told him a story, and he went back and grabbed the actual account of it. Listen, this is actually kind of an entertaining story. This is from 100 years ago, county commission meeting proceedings.
I share one of the most entertaining parts about this. Not in these chambers, but somewhere in Milton, in a county commission meeting 100 years ago, in 1925, and I'm going to do this in quotes, a motion was made and properly seconded, then unanimously carried, that the county not help Miss Daisy Kaiser pay for her set of false teeth, as the county is now helping her in every way they can. So we laugh, but yes. That was serious. Then, and I'm sure it was serious to Miss Kaiser. So, you know, we take things in perspective and we look at that was serious business that was to be handled in the time and you know, social welfare of the rural areas. A lot of times your county commission did step in and take part in that. And that was just it was pretty fun.
And yeah. And I mean, it's an interesting, you know, window back into mm-hmm. what things were pressing and how they said no, not because they didn't want to help, but because they were already doing everything they can to help her or whatever. I don't know. You know, just. It was a fun little slice of history. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, President Trump says he's expecting that the U.S. will hold talks with Iran next week. Yesterday, the president said that he would look for Iran to commit to ending efforts to obtain a nuclear weapon soon. Over 100 million Americans dealing with a brutal heat wave are now in for some relief. Yesterday was the last day of extreme temperatures as the heat dome eases its grip.
I'm actually planning.
I'm trying not to laugh.
In my brain, I actually have a transgressor segment based around the heat dome as a term. So I'm trying not to weigh in too early. That may be tomorrow's segment.
All right. And are you doing a 4th of July cookout, Andrew? I haven't got my invite yet. So
me either.
I'll be on vacation next week, so I'm not disclosing any of my plans. Oh, but you remind me of something. This is to take you completely away from your subject. You know who's filling in for me on Monday?
Who's that?
Michelle Salzman.
Well, that's going to be
awesome.
And
she's already working on booking, like, the governor and the attorney general. And, I mean, it's going to be – she's going to have Manny Diaz on maybe. So, I mean, like, it's going to be a big show. It's going to be a lot of fun. And she's going to be so entertaining. So, I was just talking to her yesterday. So, yeah, she's going to be filling in for me on Monday. Anyway, go ahead. Tell me your story about the 4th of July barbecue.
Well, apparently it's going to cost a little bit more this year. New report out from Wells Fargo Agri-Food Institute says the average barbecue cost – if you've got about 10 people going to your barbecue, could cost $130, up 2% from last year.
Only 2%?
Only 2%.
Have you bought meat lately?
It's crazy.
You are buying the 5-day-old hamburger if you're getting it for under $5 a pound. I mean, and you're lucky to find it at $5
a pound.
Buy
the package with mold on the top and scrape it off.
Oh, man. I remember when hamburger
back
was $1
day.
A pound, but hamburger has been like $3, and now it's $5. And a ribeye is like $15 a pound. It's crazy. It's crazy the price of beef these days. Chicken hasn't changed, but beef is insane. Anyway, so yeah, if you're hey, come on over for 4th of July. We're doing chicken. Because we can afford it.
Or we take donations at the door.
Exactly. Enter. There's a door fee. David, thanks so much for the update. John Pickens has got traffic on the 5s. John?
No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good. On 98, no delays on 90. Highway 29, we've got no delays to let you know about. That's good news. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5s.
Somebody texts in, party at Andrews.
I know, right? You haven't invited us over.
No, that's not the case. But if you would like a second home to throw parties at, that may be among my worst segues ever, but I don't care. I'm the one with the microphone. Anyway, so if you're thinking about buying a second home so you can throw more parties, or a different home so you can throw more parties, or a home unrelated to party potential. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, they can help you with that. They know the market, they know the rates, they know the deals, they know the problems that come up and the process to get into closing, because what you want is to sell or buy, right? You don't want to just get partway through. And they can help anticipate that stuff. They've solved the problems because they do it so frequently. It's muscle memory. If you do a thing, like if you're a lot of realtors, okay, they might sell 5 or 6 homes a year. And that's good. I mean, that's, they're making money, okay? They might sell 10. Christina Leavenworth and her team, they sold 165 last year. That's 3, 3.5, 4 every single week. That's a lot of muscle memory. That means that they know what's going on. They know what's normal. They know how to tell you, well, you don't have to agree to that. No, you can ask for that, or not, because that's one of the things you want with the realtor, because you don't know. You don't do this every day. They do all the time. They've got all this experience, all the success, and they can help you sell or buy, whatever the case may be. 786-3996, or just look her up online, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. What else do we have going on? There was something I was going to tell you. What was it? Oh, okay. I was thinking about this the other day, and I don't know why it caught in my head, but how much does the GBU-47 weigh? That's the bunker buster, the massive ordnance penetrator.
30,000 pounds.
Yeah. That's big.
Yeah.
Right, 15 tons. That's big. What's the payload of a B-2? Do you know?
60?
40.
What?
The official published payload of a B-2 stealth bomber is 40,000 pounds. So you ask yourself the question, wait a minute. 60, by my math, is more than 40. How'd they carry 2 bunker busters all the way over there? Probably they traded off payload for, what's the next most weighty thing you would carry on a plane?
Fuel.
What was the key information piece that they told us after the mission?
All the refueling tankers.
All the refuelings, yeah.
That they lined up, yeah.
Right. Wow. And in fact, it's probably, I'm speaking not so much from personal expertise, obviously, but from what I've read, that it's fairly common for these, big payload planes to take off with lower fuel and then get refueled kind of in air, because that means, anyway. But my theory is, my best going theory, is that they took off with not very much fuel. And the reason they had to have such a coordinated refueling effort is because they weren't carrying much fuel, because they can't carry much fuel when they're carrying these massive bombs, 2 of them. Which, by the way, just FYI, I had been thinking to myself, because in my head, I was thinking, I thought they had a huge range. Like, I thought they could basically go from, the middle of Missouri to anywhere. I thought they didn't have to do refueling, because I went and looked it up. And sure enough, the distance from Whiteman to Tehran is 6,822 miles. The, again, official published range of a B2 Spirit is 6,897 miles. I mean, you don't want to do it like entirely that way. But okay. But if you take into account the idea of extra payload and lower fuel, so then it makes sense. You know, they had to refuel a bunch of. I just thought that was kind of an interesting little note that had not really occurred to me before. I was thinking about it. 437-1620. There was something else I was going to tell you. Oh, the NATO. Getting NATO members to agree to 5%. It's really 3.5% up from 2%. The extra 1.5% is on, like, infrastructure and roads, which does help in military defense. I mean, think about how our interstate system is key to our national defense when Eisenhower built it. Same thing over there. It's 3.5% of their GDP on core military spending and 1.5% on, like, military-adjacent infrastructure. Of course, Spain is like, we can't afford anything. Well, you never have, sir. But this is a very, very good thing. And kudos to Trump.
News. I'm Gianna Gelosi. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth going to hold a Pentagon briefing this morning about Operation Midnight Hammer.
Now, DNI Gabbard says new intelligence confirms what POTUS has stated numerous times. Iran's nuclear facilities have been destroyed. If the Iranians choose to rebuild, they would have to rebuild all three facilities, Natanz, Fordo, Esfahan, entirely, which would likely take years to do.
Fox's Peter Doocy closing arguments today in the sex trafficking and racketeering trial of Sean Diddy Combs.
Now, yesterday, the prosecution actually moved to streamline the jury instructions for the racketeering conspiracy charge. For this count, the jury would have to agree on at least two underlying criminal acts for a conviction. Well, prosecutors have alleged arson and kidnapping, but will no longer include the attempted arson or attempted kidnapping.
America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got cloudy skies right now. It's 71 degrees. We'll get more on our forecast with Brooke Richardson here in just a few minutes. Officials say they've identified three suspects in the multiple cases where rocks, bricks, and even concrete blocks were thrown off the Jones Road overpass onto moving vehicles on I-10 in Santa Rosa County. This latest incident happened just this week when a vehicle's windshield was shattered by a rock.
And they made contact with two juveniles and then identified a third juvenile as well. And they all, as of last night, the three juveniles confessed to being the ones who were throwing bricks and concrete blocks off of the interstate overpass and striking cars driving down the road.
Major Todd Bobie from the Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office. The suspects are kids ranging from 10 to 17 years old. Officials say they're working on getting arrest warrants. The kids could face felony charges and be ordered to pay for the damages. Officials say between the incidents reported to FHP and the Sheriff's Office, there could be 14 or 15 vehicles that were damaged. Well, ECUA says the last of their fluoride has run out. That's just ahead of the deadline to quit adding it to public drinking water across the state.
We need to complete that task by July 1st. At the meeting in May, our board chose to cease purchase of additional materials and just use up what was already on hand.
That's ECUA's Bruce Woody, and he tells News Radio the last of that fluoride was added Monday, June 16th. He says for folks that are still interested in using fluoride for their dental care, visit the ECUA website. They've got information on products that are out there and available for you to purchase. Citizens Property Insurance is now financially stable. That's according to a recent annual audit. Board member Charlie Lidecker says recent litigation reform and depopulation of thousands of policies has made the company financially stable. But
are we good for multiple storms in one season? Because I'm increasingly concerned that we shouldn't be just focused on actuarially sound and then figure out some other way to be a market last resort in the marketplace.
Despite recent cuts to policies, Citizens is still the primary provider of property insurance across the state of Florida. Well, the 4th of July is almost here. For a lot of people, that means celebrations filled with fireworks, but suppliers say there could potentially be fireworks shortages thanks to tariffs put in place on Chinese goods earlier this year.
So you're going to tell me that you don't have no black cats? No Roman candles or screaming memes?
No.
Oh, come on, man. You don't got no lady fingers, fuzz buttles, snicker bombs, church burners, finger blasters, gut busters, zippity-doo-dahs, or crap flappers?
The 145% tariffs on Chinese-made fireworks were set in April, although they have been lowered to 30% now as part of a 90-day tariff break. Suppliers say retailers that didn't place their orders prior to the tariffs being lowered, though, could either have lower stock or increased prices. For folks, though, that don't plan on setting off their own fireworks show, there are plenty of good public shows around Northwest Florida for the holiday. 6:35 at News Radio 92.3, and John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Just seeing some minor delays on Highway 29 as you approach southbound, as you approach Airport Boulevard. So just be aware of that. Other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We do have a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms today, high near 91 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. On Friday, 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 90 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 78. Keeping rain chances around on Saturday with a 50% chance of rain, high near 91 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 72 degrees in Pensacola and Gulf Breeze. We've got 71 in Milton. Your next news at 7 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields were lower this morning amid renewed concerns that President Trump is considering replacing Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell. The 10-year Treasury yield fell 2 basis points to 4.27%, while the 2-year yield was lower by over 2 basis points to 3.756%. H&M shares jumped 5% after it said it is considering price increases to offset the impact of tariffs and remain competitive. The world's second largest clothing retailer posted weaker than expected sales in the fiscal second quarter, but pointed to an uptick in summer demand. Oil prices are moderately higher as investors watch the Iran and Israel ceasefire. West Texas Intermediate currently sitting at $65.28 per barrel. Brent currently sits at $68.02 per barrel. Futures are slightly higher. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials lost 106, the NASDAQ up 61, the S&P 500 closed flat. Futures are slightly higher. That's your money now.
Are you living with dry AMD? If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with Izervay, you can
slow it down.
Izervay slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. Izervay, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out this morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Explore a wide range of local and fresh produce at the Saturday Farmers Market in Navarre from 10 till 2 at South 87 and Segura Corner. Summer Saturdays, live band performances continue with free shows from noon till 4 at The Garden at Perfect Plain on Garden Street. This week, check out the band Caviar Waves. Find more events and submit yours at newsradio923.com.
Are you looking for the best news and talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Board of Trustees, in recognition of a profound appreciation of distinguished service and commendation of Martha D. Saunders as President Emeritus. President Martha D. Saunders has provided dedicated service as the sixth president of the University of West Florida since January 1, 2017. And whereas President Saunders has dutifully educated the next generation of communications professionals at UWF for over four decades and will continue as a tenured professor. Whereas President Saunders has also served the university in a variety of leadership roles, including director of the Honors Program, Dean of the College of Arts and Sciences, and Provost and Executive Vice President, among other positions.
So they go through this whole rigmarole of evaluating Martha Saunders, paying her the maximum performance bonus, raving about her qualities and her contribution to the university, and giving a proclamation of many minutes length explaining how awesome she is as they force her out. It's just so icky. It's super icky. Don't you have a stronger word? I can't say the word on the air. So, I mean, yeah. The whole conversation around selecting Manny Diaz as the interim, why didn't you offer it to Martha Saunders? Could we have? I didn't think about that. Oh, what time is it? So anyway, and I've said this many times. I'll say it again just for clarity in case anybody hasn't heard me. I think that Manny Diaz is probably going to be a good president. We have to hope for that because we don't know that based on, you know, we don't have experience. Right? He hasn't run a university before. So it's a hope at this point. But I'm optimistic because, you know, he's been a good senator and he's been a good secretary of education. And, you know, I like him. But how we got here is atrocious. And the takeover and the manipulation and the sudden thrusting upon UWF of all of these outsiders to totally change the university and all of the political shenanigans. Remember how DeSantis came to town and, you know, well, Michelle Salzman and her people and Alex Andrade and his people were not either allowed in to the PR event that he did here at PSC to talk about how bad they are. I mean, just crazy. Anyway, so in this meeting, the question of what's going to happen in the future kind of comes up. And Lonzie Scott, who has been the most vocal of the holdovers, the non-DeSantis appointees, and I really like Lonzie. You know, he's usually saying the things that I wish somebody would say, and he's saying them, and he does say them in this meeting.
And for the folks who are here in this audience, hey, your job is to continue to hold us accountable, and I would hope you would do that. Just because we are board members does not make us all omnipotent in terms of making decisions about what goes on here. We are the representatives of you. If we are not representing you in the right context, our job, your job, is to make sure other people know about those things so you can hold us accountable.
Correct.
Dr. Saunders has been your advocate for this community for years. And I would say to you, let's make sure the next person does the same thing or better.
Right.
If that person can't do that, then we should certainly come out with force and say to the university system, to the chair and everyone else that's sitting around this committee here today and say, listen, this is not working. Let's move on to the next step.
Yeah, the standard is high and the next person should be just as good or we should demand a change. Yeah, absolutely right. Correct. We'll be watching.
One of the things that I'm always cautious of in terms of how we get things done is make sure there's stability in how we do business. You can disagree with me all you want about principles and concepts. I'm okay with that. But you know, I do know that the conditions here are changing. And conditions change, and environments change, and circumstances change. Doesn't mean that I have to denigrate my own perceptions about what the world should be about. I can disagree with you and still allow you to get things done as an organization.
You know, it's an interesting observation because the pressure will be on, certainly because of the changes imposed on UWF by the governor or the governor's agents, whatever, that, you know, don't object too loudly or you might be next. You know what I mean? Right? That's, I think, a feeling that a lot of people have is if things go sour, don't talk about it too much. And he's basically saying, why should we have to adjust our perception to match the political reality? Why do we should be able to tell the truth? It's a university. You know, we should be able to tell the truth about what's going on. And I hope that we continue to do that. He's absolutely right. But in an environment where people are scared of the political repercussions, they tend to keep their mouths shut. That's the danger of authoritarian systems, is that the people in charge don't want to hear. And then people who have the ability to tell them that they're wrong aren't willing to say it. And so you wind up not fixing anything.
I would hope that's the way this board operates in the future. And I'm looking forward to my work with Mr. Diaz in the future, and hopefully he can do things even comparable to what Dr. Saunders has done for this campus.
Yeah, and maybe even better. You never know until you see it in action. But, you know, we will see. And you say, well, authoritarian's a bit strong. Well, how would you describe this manipulation of the UWF Board of Trustees and the presidency? Governor DeSantis has imposed his will on the university, with no dissent allowed, with no questions allowed, with no transparency about the process. I'm not saying there were sunshine violations. The governor can call all the Board of Trustees and tell them what to do. They don't have to do it, but, you know, he can always remove them if they don't. And as long as he's not acting as an, or his agent's not acting as an intermediary between one to the other, he's not violating anything. But, I mean, this is an authoritarian governance behavior. And remember, you know, DeSantis always talks about how bad authoritarianism is. Well, sir, you know, look, physician, heal thyself, right? 646 News Radio 92.3. There was more interesting stuff. We'll come back to it in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. If you're on Highway 90 going westbound toward 87, we're seeing some delays, just congestion delays there. No accidents. Also, Highway 90 eastbound is looking good, so no worries on that. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
So what became kind of interesting in this conversation is they were looking over the contract. Now, I know the news around this meeting was the pay for Manny Diaz, which was higher than for Martha Saunders. I actually don't, that doesn't really faze me all that much. You know, sometimes you have to pay more or whatever, okay? I mean, I think it's not justified to pay him more based on experience. She was more experienced than he is. She has a clear track record of success. He does not have that yet. But I don't know. I just didn't get worked up about that. But I did find some of the other things interesting that Lonzie Scott, who bothered to read the whole contract, noticed.
Section 10, which is really unique for me because there's a section there that talks about we've changed from all the other contracts that I reviewed in the state. There are some that had a word, one word in 10C that says conviction of the interim president in court of law for felony. That word was changed from indictment. I wonder why we would want to do something that all the other state universities have that word indictment versus conviction.
This is termination for cause. So in the section on termination for cause for the proposed contract with Manny Diaz, it says the conviction of the interim president in a court of law for any felony whatsoever, any misdemeanor involving theft, fraud, dishonesty, or the misuse or misappropriation of university resources, or, and it gives other things. And he says, well, if you look at the contract for the University of Florida, you know, it was proposed because they didn't actually ratify Dr. Ono. But the contract there was conviction or plea of guilty or no contest or in the alternative for any felony, arrest and charge for any felony. So, yeah, it's different. If you look at the USF contract, there was an element there of similar thing where it says indictment of the president in a court of law. Well, indictment's not conviction. Right? So other contracts in the state said indictment or charge, which is another way of saying indictment. And the one for UWF for Manny Diaz says conviction. That's a much higher standard. And so they got into talking about this and why make that change. And so he asks the question, you know, well, why did we make this change? Why do we make it a higher standard to remove him for cause compared to all the other universities?
And in my world, at the federal side, we were select the officer. And since this is a military community, an officer or captain who makes mistakes or has done something that's illegal, we relieve them of duty immediately. So I don't understand why we would put the word conviction versus indictment, which is what's in most of all the other contracts in the state now.
And so what you might be expecting at this point is a nice, robust explanation from Rebecca Matthews, who worked on this contract and selected Manny Diaz without talking to anybody else and didn't consider Martha Saunders without for anything at all. And you would expect maybe she would explain this change, right? She would give a full, robust explanation of why this change was made.
Anything else?
Seriously, that was it?
Oh, yeah, here, I'll play you full unedited. Okay. Here you go.
Right. Indictment, which is what's in most of all the other contracts in the state now.
Anything else?
Do we get a discussion on that, ma'am, or why we did that?
Anyone can opine if they like. I'm comfortable with it.
Even though the University of Florida, which is one of the oldest institutions in the country, has had that word in all their contracts for the last 20 years. So we're going to change ours to say conviction.
I'm comfortable with it. I don't know what the issue is. Anybody else want to opine?
Also, and by the way, the University of Florida has been around since 1853. Florida A&M University has had it in all their contracts for the last 20 years. FIU has had it in all their contracts for the last 20 years as well. So I'm trying to figure out why would we put conviction, which would allow this individual to stay in the job and be paid by this university, even though they've been indicted, which means you should be walking away from the job.
All right. Thorough answer is coming, right?
Anybody else?
What? Remember how I said that, like, the more this goes on, the more frustrated I get at Rebecca Matthews? This is the pattern. Well, I don't really feel I need to answer that question. So I'm not gonna. I got the votes on my side. The DeSantis people are with me. We have the majority. Suck it up, Buttercup. I mean, it's just so insulting. Now, Zach Smith is going to come in. Remember, he's the one that was on PSC, and now he's been put at UWF also. I think he's an attorney. If I'm wrong about that, somebody will correct me, but I believe that's the case. And he says, I don't think what you're worried about is really an issue because the subsequent clauses allow for getting rid of him for moral turpitude or other things.
Sure, Matthew. Sure, some of the conduct that Trustee Sky is concerned about, wouldn't that be covered by the very next clause? Removal for any conduct constituting moral turpitude that would bring public disrespect, contempt, or ridicule upon UWF. So I think, Trustee Scott, at least from my reading, many of your concerns would be covered by that subsequent clause.
I don't think they would, sir. I respectfully disagree. That's why all the other contracts have that in their contracts.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm surprised Zach Smith makes this argument because it's a terrible argument. By his argument, if the things that Alonzi Scott is worried about are already covered by the subsequent phrase, then you don't need anything related to conviction or charge or indictment. If it's all covered under the subsequent clause, that's completely unnecessary. So there's no reason to have it whatsoever. So why bother even mentioning indictment or charging? Like, it goes too far. It's an argument that cuts too deep for the point he's trying to make.
Respectfully, as I understand it, if you committed theft, if you committed fraud, if you committed an act of dishonesty, if you misappropriated university resources, I certainly think that would be an act constituting moral turpitude and would bring public disrespect, contempt, or ridicule upon UWF.
So why wouldn't the word indictment be a necessary word as well?
I think it would be duplicative at that point.
Duplicative. So with all the other contracts, you are sitting here saying to me that all the contracts that are issued across the state are all duplicative. I'm supposed to believe your assessment of those lawyers who have been around in this business longer than you have, and you've been on this board for, what, a couple of months, and all of a sudden you're an expert on contracts.
Well, what I would say is I haven't reviewed the other contracts, and I can only give you the reading based on what I see here. But that's my opinion, Chair Matthews.
A reading which doesn't hold up to even basic scrutiny and which is at odds with the other contracts and which is really premature. He should know better. So, wow, I was just stunned by that. Now, I will say, okay, I did do some extra looking, and I will say that even the contract with Martha Saunders seems to have the conviction phrase in it. So I'm not sure how much of a change it is, okay, because it says conviction, a plea of guilty, or a plea of nulla contendere to a felony or misdemeanor involving moral turpitude. So Lonzi may be barking up the wrong tree on this. He may not be. But the level of bad analysis and failure to answer is really concerning. Because, again, we're supposed to be having these conversations out in the open. And it did come up with another issue.
Anything else?
Yeah, one more.
Yeah, yeah. And he's already had another one, which I didn't play for you.
On Section 9, termination without cause, I noticed that we've changed the contract. By the way, all these other contracts I'm referring to have different language, which is kind of common in the state of Florida. We've shifted it from a clause of saying we got to have two-thirds vote by the board to terminate a contract versus a majority. Majority means 50%, two-thirds, if I can do my math correct, is about 66%. So that essentially means we got to have, instead of having seven people, we might have to have eight. I wonder why we made that change as well.
Looking for an answer. Any answer will do.
It was an addition added by the commissioner and his counsel, and we agreed upon it. I felt comfortable.
You agreed upon it. You agreed to do that. Not necessarily we. There's no we here.
Okay. Well,
as you agreed that you thought that was legitimate.
Thank you for your comments, and you are able to share those with everyone, and everybody else at this table is also available to opine. Would anyone like to opine on any of the comments from Trustee Scott?
Well, they asked for a two-thirds majority, and I gave it to them, supermajority, and, you know, I don't have anything else to say about explaining why that makes sense, and it is different from all the other contracts, which do all either say majority or presume it. But, you know, anybody else want to opine? We've heard you. Anyone? Just, what in the actual hell? I'm sorry to swear, but, like, this is not how you conduct business at a major university. This is ridiculous. Now, again, let me be clear. There's not much I can do about it. We are on the path we're on. I am hoping for the best, and I do have high hopes for Manny Diaz, but this is absurd. 656 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Minor delays on Highway 90 southbound as you approach 9 Mile and Scenic Highway split off there. Seeing some minor delays on Davis Highway. Again, southbound right in front of the hospital and also to Olive Road. Other than that, we're good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Coming up on the 4th of July is the free Pensacola Fireworks presented by Pensacola Young Professionals and the Pensacola Chamber. At 7:30, be at Community Maritime Park for Pensacola Symphony's free Sparks and Stars concert, sponsored by Peter Muget. You can also listen to the symphony broadcast live at 7:30 right here on News Radio 92.3. Continue listening at 9 as the fireworks will be synchronized to the music presented by Penn Air Credit Union. Bring your radio and enjoy the 4th of July.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all you can eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Every day, you enjoy the freedoms brought to you by the First Amendment. You can speak your mind, wear what you want. You can put a sign on your front lawn that says, "Vote for Bigfoot, someone you can believe in." Pray to the God of your choice, or don't. They're the freedoms that let you be you. All brought to you by the First Amendment. Learn more at freedomforum.org.
This message is sponsored by Freedom Forum and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Love you, baby. You're beautiful.
Good morning, 659 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Coming up shortly, we're expecting a press conference from Pete Hegseth, Secretary of Defense, about the Iranian strike, the strike against Iran. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. The man accused of attacking pro-Israel demonstrators in Colorado this month is facing several federal hate crime charges. Senior director of the Colorado Jewish Community Relations Council, Brandon Ratner, says people accused of hate crimes need to be held accountable.
When you have someone professing that he wants to kill the vast, vast, vast majority of Jews and then goes out and tries, we need to believe him and treat it as such.
And in an indictment unsealed yesterday, Mohammed Sabri Solomon is now charged with a dozen hate crime counts.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.